So if I can invite you to find your seat or to turn around this kind of direction-ish. So I've just, we've got a little baby boy called Zach who's getting more like a little boy now rather than a baby boy. And he's at the stage now where he's beginning to get interested in sounds and things. And so, you've got the sound of a dog, woof, and the sound of a cat meow. One of the things I'd like to ask you, which I'm very confused, is what noise do rabbits make? Oh, there you go. I've been dumbfounded with that one. I've been trying to work out, because they keep seeing these rabbits. And you kind of think, well, what do you do? So anyway, this morning, I'm just going to share with you, as I've shared with you on a number of times, the vision of CORE and why we exist and what God has called us to be part of and to do. And we're going to have a couple of testimonies to explain people who are part of that. But what I want to remind us at the beginning of this, is the first thing is this, that God is positioning his church for the harvest. God is positioning us as a people, not only to bless us, but for us to be a blessing. He wants us to be a light to those who do not know him. And when I first arrived here, and one of the pictures the Lord gave to me and my wife Catherine, was that God said to me that I want you to build an ark. I want you to build it in the desert. And we're in a spiritual desert here, aren't we? I want to build it to God's specifications, and when the water comes, is exactly what it has been made for. And so we're positioning this church in a way, as God reveals to us, to be a place that not only worships God with everything we've got, and secondly captures something of who God is, but also is a light to those who do not know him. And that's what I'm really going to speak about today. And as I said to you about 2 years ago, Catherine was outside the church at the bus stop. It was a bit of a rainy day. And over Ireland, people speak to each other. In England, they just ignore each other. But over here, it's a kind of a wonderful thing. You stand at the bus stop and people say, oh, how are you doing? How's it going? Blah, blah, blah. And she was standing there and it was raining. And a lady said to her, she goes, someone around here needs to build an ark. And so, you see, God speaks, and we believe that's what God's doing, and we're not, so that's what God is doing for us. So let's just pray as we enter into this talk now. So Lord Jesus, we don't take the invitation to us lightly. Lord, we want to be obedient to who you've called us as a people to do and to be. And Lord, we're reminded that unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. And we don't want to waste our time. But we just pray, Lord, through your mercy and through your kindness, that you would show us clearer and clearer what it means to follow you and to do what you're calling us to do in this particular space. And so we just pray now, Lord, you release your clarity and your compassion and your conviction to us in a way that empowers us to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So this morning, as it always is with following the Lord, he always gives us a fresh invitation. I think that's it now, isn't it? See, the Lord's always waiting to respond, waiting for us to respond, isn't he? Just put in some water. So God's invitation to us, to each one of us here, is to participate, to get involved with God, what God is doing, whether it's here in this church, whether it's in the communities that you come from, whether it's the church you come from. God's invitation is he's called you to be part of what God is doing upon the earth. So what has God called you to do? Where has he called you to do it, and how will you respond to that invitation? At CORE, we believe the invitation to us is from Jesus to be part of what God is doing upon the earth, and particularly in Dublin. He wants us to activate our gifts, our time and our money for the service of the kingdom. And we have a very well-known text, which will be very well-known to those who are members of CORE or those who are members of this church. And it comes from Isaiah 61, and it's the verse that Jesus understood his ministry in light of. It says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And so when Jesus was anointed at his baptism, the words that which framed his ministry were the ones from Isaiah 61. The anointing upon Jesus would be as such that when he spoke the word, he would proclaim good news to the poor, he would proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, release the oppressed. And so when God, the anointing upon Jesus is good news both spiritually and physically for the poor. The Spirit upon Jesus is good news for the prisoners both spiritually and physically. The anointing upon Jesus is good news for the blind both spiritually and physically. The Spirit upon Jesus is good news for the oppressed both spiritually and physically. You see, it's anointing upon Jesus that released his ministry. And if you look at Acts 38, at Acts 11, it says this. If I can find it, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. And so the anointing upon Jesus was to do, as this says, to doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. And so at CORE, we believe the ministry of Jesus is key to the growth and the health of the church. We believe the ministry of Jesus is key to the health of our community, our city, our nation, and beyond. When Jesus started his ministry, as we see in Matthew 4, Jesus entered the ministry with the words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here." And when God spoke those words, he unleashed the power of heaven upon the earth. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when God proclaimed those words, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is here," he brought his authority and his power to come against the work of the devil and undoing all the work of darkness. And so Jesus has proclaimed the kingdom of God, and he's invited us to participate with him in being part of the kingdom. In Matthew 4, as I said before, it says that Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God. Then what did he do? He didn't just proclaim it, he modeled it. He showed people what the kingdom of God was like. And to do that, it says this: Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. So he didn't only proclaim the kingdom, he showed what happens when the kingdom of God comes. He then invited people to participate with him in the kingdom of God. He says to them, says to the disciples, James and John, who are fishermen, he says, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fish the men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Jesus' invitation to each one of us here is this: come and follow me. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. And he invites us to participate with him in the kingdom of God. And once he had modeled the kingdom, he invited them to be part of the kingdom, he then sent them out to be participators of the kingdom. He says this: "As you go, as I go, as we go, preach the message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely received, freely give." And so God, Jesus proclaimed the kingdom, he modeled the kingdom, called people to be part of the kingdom, "Come and follow me," and then he sent them out to minister the kingdom. And just before Christmas, we had a guy who came into the church who was a heating engineer. And as you're probably aware of, quite often at CORE, the temperature's not always as constant as it should be. And the heating broke down yet again. And so this guy came in who he regularly comes to sort out the heating in the church. And he came in hobbling in one morning. He's kind of like this. And we found out that he was actually waiting keyhole surgery in his knee. And the doctor said that he needed that in order for his knee to actually be in a position where he could start walking, using it again. But he's in quite a lot of pain. And one of the guys in staff said to him while he was hobbling around the building, said to him, "Would it be right if I pray with you?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, whatever. Yeah, okay, why not? You know, you can pray." So they went up to him and said, "You know, I just pray now in Jesus' name that you heal this man's knee." And so went away, prayer was made. Anyway, heating broke down again, and we invited the heating engineer again. And he came last week, and he came in. The first thing he said to us, "Do you know when you prayed for me," or whoever was prayed for the person, and they said, the person said, "Oh yeah," he goes, "I went to the doctor with my knee, and he says you've been completely healed." And he kept doing this, kept going, "Let's go look." He goes, "Look." He goes, "The only thing he's finding at the moment is his mind is catching up with his mind now, because he still thinks it's gone, it's still injured, but his body is fine, but his body's beginning to realize actually it's okay now." And so he said that he went down to the pub and told everyone down the pub, and they kind of think he's absolutely loony. And he's struggling to say that Jesus did it, but he's coming to terms with the fact that Jesus healed him. That, my friends, is the kingdom of God. And who wouldn't want to be part of that? So his testimony testifies of God's activity amongst us. We don't come here just to speak about God. God's activity is amongst God's people. And the outwork of Jesus' ministry is through the church. And Jesus called us to carry on his ministry until he returns. It is through the church, through God's people, that the kingdom of God is manifest. And obviously God's not limited by us, thank goodness. But generally, it's us he's called for him to manifest his kingdom through. To display, to demonstrate, to make known who God is through God's people. It says in Ephesians, it talks about the church. It says, "Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord." In other words, it's through the church that God reveals his wisdom. It's through the church that God's manifold wisdom is to be displayed. It is through the church that he makes known to rulers, authorities, and heavenly his eternal purposes. What are they? God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so that's the context of why we get up in the morning. This is the context of why we exist as a church. And this is what God has invited us to participate in. And so this underpins, is a foundation, it is a definition through Scripture and through God's Spirit of why we exist as a church. And the vision, the core is this: those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. Those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. And I'll explain that in a little minute. In Ephesians 3, in the Message, it says this: "The mystery is that people who have never heard of God and those who have heard of him all their lives, what I've been calling outsiders and insiders, stand on the same ground before God. They get the same offer, same help, same promises in Christ Jesus. The message is accessible and welcoming to everyone across the board." And so the message of Jesus is to those who are outside his purposes and to those who are in. Those who are outside God's purposes, he wants to bring right in to meet with God, to participate with God, and then to take that out to those who do not know him. God's invitation is for us to move from observing to participate, from looking outside of what God is doing to standing inside and joining with us in what God is doing. You see, you can't swim by watching. You learn how to swim by jumping into the water. You might need some help on the way. Zach can't swim yet. We've bought him some little buoyancy things he puts on his arms. So he will learn by getting in the water and beginning how to do it. You see, you learn how to pray by doing this. and you might have one of those buoyancy things around your arm. Because you don't know how to do it yet, but you do that by learning how to do it. Do you see what I mean? Zach can't swim, he'll go, whoa. And I might not feel I can pray for someone or whatever, but if you imagine like the Lord putting one of those things around your arm, he's holding you. He's helping you. He wants for us to participate in what he's doing. Paul's prayer is this: I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you'll have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. You see, it's through activating our gifts that we understand what we have in Jesus. When we sit on the sideline as observers, it's very difficult to understand with what God is doing, isn't it? If we sit here passively, we can always, it's an easy place because we can always tell what's wrong with everything. Because we're just observing, because we don't really understand it, because we've never actually stood in there. So observing is an easy thing to do. Participating is what God has called us to do. And as we participate, we realize actually, it's not as easy as I thought it was going to be to do. And actually, it means that what we have to say becomes much more positive because you realize actually it's not as easy to do what God has called us to do. But God is the author and perfecter of his faith, and he trains us, encourages us, and empowers us to be involved with what God is doing. And so the vision is those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. The vision is broken down into four components. Firstly, we want to be a church that welcomes the outsider in. We want to be a church where worship will be the sign. We want to be a community of transformation where God transforms us into his likeness. And we want to be a community that is turned inside out. And the four things, which I'm going to conclude with in a little while, I just thought, just to let you know, the vision of Court is centered very much around the Trinity of God. The invitation is firstly to be part of God's welcome. The first one is to be a worshiper of Jesus, which is Jesus, being open to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit for ourselves and for others. That's the Holy Spirit. And being part of God's family, taking the Father's love out into community, that's the Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's underpinned with the nature and character of who God is. So firstly, the invitation is to welcome the outsider in. So we want to be a church that welcomes all who come through our door, learning to show the love, hospitality, and acceptance that characterize Jesus' ministry so that those who are on the outside are welcomed in. And so the first thing about us, we want to be a welcoming church. We want to welcome people. We want to learn what that means and how to do that. And we're all learning. As I said, we want to be like. It doesn't mean we've arrived, but we want to learn to do that. And so welcome is part of our responsibility as members of the church. When people come here, we take the time to say, hi, how are you doing? And to begin to get to know people. We have at the back, we have the welcome desk we've mentioned to you a number of times, and that's under development. We want to learn how to more effectively welcome people and connect people with the church community. We have the website, which is corechurch.ie, which gives an indication of who we are, what we are about, and how to get involved. And I just want to encourage you, if you don't understand what on earth I'm talking about, spend some time looking at the website because it outlines who we are, what we're about, and breaks down the vision as I'm saying it to you now. Part of our welcome also is with things like Step Up, which meets on a Monday night, and that is a place for those who freshly come to the city, who it's a new place for them. And we know what it's like. I know what it's like when you first arrive in a city. You've got no idea how it operates. And it's an invitation to those who freshly arrive to get to know other people as members of the church and those who are in the same sort of situation, to help them get knitted in with the church community, because we know that arriving in a city can be a very lonely place. And so we want to help welcome people to make that step from being on their own to being part of what God and to be part of the welcome here. And so part of the welcome in this church is to do is how we develop this building in order that we can to really walk out more of what God has called us to do and to be two things. Firstly, we want to be a church that worships Jesus with everything we've got. But secondly, we want to be a resource to the community. And so at the moment we're undergoing the development plan for the building which we're beginning to buy next door. We want to redevelop the whole church so the church can be a place where of resources, firstly for us as a church community. So we have meeting rooms, we have places for the kids to go, we have places for all sorts of things. But also we can be a place which can be a resource to community, where we can bridge the gap between us and the community so that we begin to engage more together. So the first part is that God wants us to welcome the outsider in. The second value and the highest value of the church is that we want to be a church that worships Jesus with everything we've got. That is why we exist primarily. That's why we come on a Sunday. That's why we do what we do. That's our highest value. And we believe that the worship of Jesus is key to the life and mission of the church. And in Ezekiel 47, we've gone through a number of times, Ezekiel sees a vision of a restored sanctuary. And out of the restored sanctuary, water begins to flow. And wherever the water flows, there's life. And out of our worship of Jesus, God releases His Holy Spirit like a river. And as the river flows out of the church, it rebuilds, restores, revives the lives of the people, the community, and beyond. And as we restore this place in spirit and truth, it's out of that that God releases His power to change all those things that we come in contact with. And so we want to grow together in our worship and knowledge of God. And so one of our values is obviously investing in worship. And so I'll just get a snapshot of the areas. So obviously we want to learn to understand God's word and to communicate that. So we value that as a high value. We want to develop the creative arts in the church, so we have a broader expression of our worship through art, drama, multimedia. We had David Roos here last November, and that was just a great opportunity to sing someone who has got a real heart for worship and of the arts and of how that can be used in order to reach out to all sorts of people. We also highly value prayer. And as I said earlier, it's through prayer that God releases expectation. And we believe that it's through prayer that God makes His vision a reality. And so we have prayer every other Monday night with the Hot House. We have Lydia Prayer Group, which meets once a month in the church. That's on a Wednesday morning. And that's joining with us in prayer. We have student prayer initiatives. We have a week of prayer, which we're going to have in April, just to pray as a church for a week. And so underpinning our value is that worship will be the sign that we're called to be a worshiping community. But out of our worship, Jesus releases power for us to be restored. And so we believe that God has called us to be a community of transformation. And we call that in work. And so it's God's work within our lives. And it's got a... Our relationship with God has to have it must impinge on our lives, mustn't it? As we worship Jesus, it must have an effect on who we are and what we're about. And so we want to be a community that is open to the power of God to change our lives, because we believe that transformed people transform community. And part of that transformation process is through small groups. And we want small groups to be places where people can learn to grow in their faith and have opportunity to develop with a group in that walk with God. And so Graham Jones is sitting over there. He's overseeing the small groups. And over this next term, we're investing again in the small groups to really make them a place of growth. And I've invited a guy called Johnny and Esther Grant from a church in London who've been developing small groups over a number of years now, and they've got about 50 or 60 of them in their church. And they're coming over on a Wednesday evening to just to share with us their journey in what they've done and how they've done that. And we're not saying it's the end or the be all, but it's always encouraging hearing what other people do, isn't it? And to see, actually, gosh, maybe we can do that as well. Or maybe they can learn from what we're doing here as well. So it's kind of an opportunity to learn together. And then finally, I'm just going to bring this. That God wants to turn us outward as a church. In the same way as Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to be to bring God's kingdom. He wants us to participate in what God is doing, not just in the church, but out of the church. And there's many ministries that come outside of CORE that we're involved with, and I'm not going to go into great detail them now, but we have Kids Club, which we know a lot about, and we'll have another opportunity to share a bit more about what that is. We have the Solace After School Project. We have the prison ministry. But one of the ministries I'd like to share with this morning is actually the Liberty Saints Rugby. And Mark Burke has been overseeing the rugby for a considerable period of time now. And he's going to come and share with us what it means to participate in outward-looking ministry. And so if you want to come up here, Mark, we'll just share with us a little bit about what that means and what that is. It's the brilliant. So I'll hold the mic light. So do you want to just say to us, to start with, what Liberty the Saints Rugby is and how it started and why it started?
It started because of Graham Jones.
He's come through.
Graham saw there was kids coming out of Kids Club who were like 12, and there was nothing for them. So Graham saw an opportunity to take kids of that age group to maybe play rugby. Graham played rugby for years, and it's something that he loves doing, so he took the opportunity to coach some kids around the area. So we linked up with St. Catherine Sports Centre, which is just down the road, and Graham asked me to give a dig out, and I don't play rugby anymore and I love it, so I said yeah, no problem. I just thought it'd be an opportunity to just play a bit of tag and play a bit of Nothing major. I didn't think anything of it. Like, I just thought it was just a bit of rugby, and then it was kind of when you start into it, you sort of realise that what you're doing is having more of an impact than you might see at times as well.
And how have you, from firstly stepping in there to start with, thinking, gosh, I'm quite happy to do this for a short period of time. What's happened to encourage you to suddenly take hold of this from doing it regularly and actually really want to get involved with it? So in other words, how you, because sometimes God's invited you to be part of this, you've now said yes, and now what's it like to walk it out?
I'm not going to say, firstly I'd just like to say that it's not been easy. Like, it's been a bit of a struggle where you have like 20 kids at the start of a year, and then you have 3 kids by the end of the season, and it's quite upsetting, and it's quite hard to take at times. You wonder why you're doing it. But we've just kept plugging away at it, and we prayed about it a bit as well. And we started back up this year, and we've consistently had 15 kids coming. And it's just those few kids that come week in, week out, that make it worthwhile, and you start to build a relationship with them. And then you're loving them, and you're disciplining them. And in the disciplining, you're loving them, and they might not think that, but when you're telling them to do 20 press-ups or that.
Yeah.
But it's just, for me, it's been great, because I've built relationships with a lot of kids around the area, and some of them come in here for the second Sunday, the kids' service, and they're up to you, and if you weren't there the week before, you're getting interrogated as to why you weren't at training the week before. And a lot of people take for granted growing up in families where they just get what they need and they're loved and they get encouraged, and it was only a short period into it when I think we realised that, you know, a lot of these kids aren't told that they're loved and aren't encouraged, and then your heart just goes out to them then, because, I mean, it's something that you may have experienced or you may not, but you might have some grasp of what it is to be loved. And
yeah.
So it's just good to be able to bring that to them. And you can't be too soft with them. You have to lay down rules, and you have to be real with them.
Yeah.
So.
Brilliant. So we'll pray for Mark in a minute. We'll pray for you in a second. But that's encouraging, to hearing of a testimony of Mark, who's overseeing the rugby. And it's I know from him saying yes to that, it wasn't easy. As I said before, when God calls us, it's not easy, but as we step out, we begin to realize the resources that we have in Christ. And I know there's some of the lads are here tonight, actually. They were at the back there in the kitchen, they were earlier. And they've begun to feel this place is okay to be at. These guys are okay. These people are fine, they're all right. And they're beginning to participate in some of the leadership with the kids' club. And even when I go to Paddy, we wander around the flats getting to know people in the flats. And they begin to get to know us because of what's happening within the church. And it's wonderful seeing these guys beginning to turn their energies into something really, really positive. So it's really encouraging. So I just encourage you to, whatever God's called you to do, and we're all called to do something different. And I just want to encourage you to step out as God leads us. And so just to conclude, as time is flying on, God's invitation is this, for us to move from observing to participating. You know more clearly what we have in Christ when we step out in response to what God has called us to do. God invites us to use our gifts, our time and money in the service of his kingdom. His invitation is to be part of God's welcome. His invitation is for us to worship Jesus with everything we've got. His invitation is to be open to God transforming power in our lives and to take that transforming power out to those who do not know him. And God's invitation is for us to take the Father's love out in the community and beyond. And concluding this, it says this. This is Jesus' words to his disciples. These are Jesus' words to you and to me. It says this. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. So let's just take a moment just to let those words sink in, and let's be open now to God's presence. And maybe we'll just shut our eyes and just to And Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness over the years with this church, Lord. We thank you that you do not leave us or forsake us. We thank you that your plans, the things that are in your heart, will always come into fruition. I thank you, Lord, as we pray and as you raise our expectations, we begin to understand more fully what it means to follow you. And Lord, I want to thank you so much for the wonderful people at this church, Lord, who are serving you so faithfully, Lord. And I want to just to encourage them, Lord. I want to thank them. I want to praise you, Lord, for doing a wonderful work in this church, Lord, in the lives of people here. And I pray, Lord, that you continue to shape us, to encourage us, to anoint us, to lead us, to show us how we can get involved with the gifts that you've given us. And Lord, we thank you that every person here has a part to play. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help each one of us to find our place in this space, Lord. And I just want to be reminded of those words about do not be anxious about anything. And I really believe that's the word this morning about anxiety. And I believe there's people who are anxious about everything. And the Lord says, do not be anxious. And anxiety can be corrosive. But God doesn't want us to be like that. And so I just want to invite anyone up this morning now who feels anxious. And it's okay, we all feel anxious at different times, but I